email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
All together now. That's how the women's soccer squad were greeted in Sydney Airport by family, friends and fans. As we all know by now, Irish sporting history will be made in Australia tomorrow when Ireland take on the host nation in their first ever appearance in a World Cup. RTE's Samantha Labrerie was there to capture the magic in the airport in Sydney. Hello, Samantha.
Hello, Ray, or good evening from Sydney. It's almost bedtime here.
Ah, oh, you poor thing. Thanks for staying up for us. It sounded like they got a great welcome when they arrived. Where did they come from?
They've been based in a camp in Brisbane for the last about 10 days or so. And they were due to fly into Sydney today for the match, which is taking place tomorrow. So I didn't really know what to expect when we headed out to Sydney Airport this morning. I'd been in touch with a few friends and family members by text, and I knew they were heading out to see the team arrive. And the Irish consul in Sydney was also running a bus out to the event. So we expected a warm enough reception with a bit of crack and colour. But you ended up with this kind of mad scenario where there was about 100, maybe 200 people. There was fans, friends and family at the team. And they had the jerseys, the flags, shamrock saga bongs on their heads. And there was these toddlers in Irish jerseys with shamrocks painted on their faces playing football in the arrivals hall. And there was even a fella dressed as St. Patrick. Hey. And they were gathered at the bottom of an escalator singing ole ole, as we all do, waiting for the team to arrive. And there we go. It's the universal language, isn't it? And then all of a sudden, they just stopped singing and started piling up this escalator. And a few of us who were there from the media, we were kind of frantically following them up because we didn't know what was going on, but they had been told they were in the wrong spot. So they go upstairs. It was like something out of a comedy. And they find this other section of the arrivals hall, which was more like what you see in Dublin Airport. Right. And they lined up in a guard of honour and started cheering everyone who was coming into the Qantas terminals, you know, ole ole, to all these poor Australian businessmen in suits who didn't know what was going on. And then, you know, they were kind of mid ole ole again. And all of a sudden, everyone just started running across the other side of the arrivals hall. And those of us who had the cameras and the microphones start sprinting after them, looking at each other, going, what's going on? And what had happened was someone had spotted the team bus was actually up the far end, and it turned out they were coming in a whole other entrance. So just as they kind of regathered themselves and started the ole ole again, the team actually started coming out, and the guy dressed as St. Patrick was at the top of the line, personally greeting each one of them. And you know, you could see the smiles on their faces and the kind of shock of the players. Yeah. There was fans kind of shouting, calling out for autographs and selfies, and the atmosphere it was really just magic. And here's one of the families who made the 15,000 kilometre trip across to be there.
My name is Sarah Bohan. I'm from Perrystown in Dublin 12. I'm here with my wife Joanne and our two twins, and they're 5. As soon as Amber Barrett put the ball in the back of the net in Scotland back October, we knew we had to be here. It's sporting history.
I remember being a kid and I was in Orlando for the men's football World Cup. I just remember just being amazing experience, and just memories I'll have for a lifetime. So I'm just thrilled that we get to do this with our kids and with the girls. It's just fantastic.
And a mention there of Amber Barrett, and she's the reason we're all cheering on the women's team tomorrow morning with that brilliant goal. And you met Amber's dad.
I did. One of the biggest hugs I saw in the Rivals Hall. And I don't know if it's just me or the jet lag or what, but I just found the whole thing very emotional because, you know, some of them, they've been at camp for a total of 6 weeks now between in Dublin and Ireland. Now, they have seen their families and stuff like that, but you could see that seeing them there in Australia meant something. It was very real for them. And Sean, we spoke to him and he told us, you remember that Amber Barrett scored that crucial goal that got us to the World Cup last October. So he spoke to us about what it means to him to be in Australia and see his daughter playing in a World Cup.
And listen, it's massively exciting, I suppose, for everybody involved, for the whole country. Like, you know, to be here now in the World Cup, in the Ladies World Cup, is massive. Like,
how many of you are out here to support her, and how are you all feeling about the occasion?
Well, myself and my son Kane, just behind you there, are out from the immediate family. I've two nieces out, and I've a cousin over in Perth, another cousin coming to Sydney for the game tomorrow, and friends from home are coming out as well.
When you saw her go out the door all those years ago to first play football, did you ever imagine you'd be coming to a Women's World Cup?
I suppose it's at the time it's kind of something that players, people dream of, like, but you don't really think this is going to be a reality. I don't think anybody did. Like, and particularly if you look back at 2017, the way things were now, and thankfully we've come an awful long way. And it's brilliant for football, it's brilliant for sport, for ladies' sport, and for all sport in the country. And it's a massive thing, though, it is.
Are you nervous for her?
I'm not nervous for her, no. I would have huge belief in her, so no, not nervous. Looking forward, I hope that she gets game time, and I hope that she gets a chance, that she takes her chances. That's what we're looking forward to.
There you go, Sean Barrett there talking about his daughter Amber. Loads of proud families there.
Yes, yeah. If it was my child, I think I'd be very nervous for them. They all seem very relaxed. Ireland captain Katie McCabe, she's one of 11 children, and some of her family were out there to greet her. And even though she's the captain and the leader and the superstar of this squad, she also had a big hug for her mammy and her daddy when she arrived in Sydney Airport. And they had only arrived into Sydney last night. They're from Kilnamana and Talla. They met up with Katie's brother Shane, who's currently travelling around Australia with his girlfriend in a Volkswagen Polo. And he'd driven 14 hours to pick up his parents and come and see his sister in the World Cup. And they nearly didn't make it to the whole airport arrival because they were struggling to get parking. And speaking of Katie, there was this amazing piece she's written for the Players' Tribune, that if anyone's interested in this World Cup, they should look it up online and read it, because she's written it herself about her personal journey to being Ireland captain. And her story's been told a lot, but it's just, I think it's in her own words.
It's great.
Just so
I read it, yes.
Vivid
very
and
good.
So real.
Yeah,
and yeah. Did you read it?
Yes,
yeah.
Very good. Yeah.
And she talks about working in Nando's in Talla to leading the national team, and she almost gave up football when she wasn't getting her game at Arsenal, and she had this moment, and you know, it was very reminiscent of what we saw in the airport today, where she was standing outside a football ground in Inchicore, and the then Ireland captain Emma Byrne stopped and signed her ticket for her to a women's game. And this, she says, is the very moment that kind of made her believe and determine that she was going to be a footballer. And you could see that today then, her, and this is something this team is known for, is the how they interact with the fans, how they give them such time. And, you know, they obviously see it as something that's really important to them, because they know that they're role models, that they didn't have female role models growing up. They know that that's the kind of special role and the legacy they're making, and how important that is to the future of the women's game. But after they had a chat with Katie, which was hard because she was being mobbed by fans, her dad, Gary, told me about how they were feeling about being in Australia.
Oh, it's an honour to be here. It's a thing I didn't think I'd ever be here. But the team has been progressing so well over the last few years that it's been a hard slog, but it's just great to be here. And to walk out on that pitch tomorrow, as I say, I'll shed a tear and a lump will come in my throat, and I'll just have to hide away so nobody can see me crying. it's a special moment.
You've seen the years of sacrifice, the hard work that Katie's put in to get to this moment, and then you see the crowd here greeting them as they come through the airport. What did that mean to see that?
Well, I've been following her since she was five. I've seen most of her matches, bringing her here, there and everywhere. It's really been an honour to follow her, to be in her life. It's been to see from the time she was a kid to where she is now and what she is now and who she is now. She's a leader, and as I say, a great motivator as well for people on the pitch.
And the McCabes, you're a big family. How are the rest of them going to watch the match?
They're all having a party day on Thursday at 11 o'clock at my house with bounty castles for all the grandkids and all that. So that's how they're going to be celebrating this.
Brilliant.
There's a real fear that being out here, you're going to miss all the real crack, like they say in Italia 90, it all happened in Ireland.
Just looking at a little video from Ring's End, it's festooned.
Oh, Abby Larkin, yes, Shamrock Rovers player.
Yeah. The youngest member of the squad there.
I noticed that actually last week driving over the Eastlink Bridge, and apparently on the day they plan to have big, huge screens erected in the middle of Ring's End, and they're going all out. And it's wonderful to see, because that's my memory of Italia 90. That's what got me involved in following soccer when I was a little girl. It was everyone going crazy. And you know, it's great to see that, and like, hopefully it's replicated across the country.
And you met Shane, the man in the polo who drove 14 hours.
Oh, it was amazing. I'm very, very proud of her. Like, I grew up with Katie playing football, and I always knew she was going to be a superstar, because the way she could, like, just hold herself off against other boys, play against other boys, it's like it was just like night and day. Like, I knew, I'd say when we were kids, like, what team are you going to play for? Because I just knew, I could see it in her. So I'm very proud, and I think I was right as well. So,
and a couple of years back, if you said you were Katie McCabe's brother, people might not have known what that meant. What's that like now to be Katie McCabe's brother?
This is probably the first time I've ever seen Adam, because I've been living in Australia the past 2 years, so I've been just seeing it on the media on how big she's getting, all the articles and how far she's come. So yeah, it's amazing.
There you go. Shane McCabe. And it wasn't just families who were there to greet the Irish team.
No, at a very rough count, there was about 100 to maybe 200 people at the airport. And there's been a lot of talk in the run-up to this game about how many Irish people will be in Stadium Australia. You've probably heard by now that this game was originally supposed to take place in a smaller stadium of 40,000. It had to be moved to, because it sold out so quickly, to the bigger stadium with a capacity of 80,000. There's, you know, much speculation about how many of those tickets have actually gone to the Irish in Australia. And nobody really knows, and they won't know. And I was down this evening doing some work for RTÉ Sport at the Irish bar, talking to some of the fans that are gathered there this evening. And there's great statistics coming at me, like 50% of the tickets have gone to Irish fans, 80%. Nobody knows. It's completely, you know, a guessing game. Yeah. The Australians don't know, but we will know tomorrow when we see how many, you know, green jerseys or county jerseys are in that crowd. And what struck me today is the numbers weren't huge at the airport, but the noise and the energy that that kind of small enough group created was fairly immense. And it makes me think about what could happen with, you know, a few thousand or tens of thousands in that stadium tomorrow. You know, and as I was saying earlier, there was a lot of emotion on display in the airport. You know, again, it wasn't just the families and the reunited families. There was one woman I spoke to, Anne from Longford, who travelled to Ireland for this event. And she, you know, was overcome by, you know, her feelings about why she'd come here.
I'm Anne Foley. I'm originally from Longford. We're married 40 years, so this is our anniversary trip.
It's a long way to come, a lot of money.
But you know what? I'm worth it. We wanted to do something really special, and when they qualified, we said nothing could be better than following them. They really deserve it. They're a lovely bunch of girls, and delighted for them.
How excited are you?
Really, really excited. Emotional, nearly. Because I played with girls years ago, and they're no longer here. So for all of those, I am excited.
So what does it mean to you to be here?
So I'm so pleased that women have finally come where they deserve to be. I'm delighted.
There's Anne there. Now, we don't know how many Irish fans are going to be in the stadium, but we probably have a rough idea of how many people travelled over from Ireland because of visas.
Yes, it's been tricky to get an exact number, but the best guess based on the number of visas that have been issued by Australia to Irish people is that there's about 4,000 have come out for the game, which is a huge number. It's a really long and a very expensive journey, and I really thought that not many people would make it. But some of the people I met up there, especially there was people with young children, which really surprised me because it's such a journey. You know, as an adult, I found it hard enough, and I'm just trying to imagine dealing with time zones and small children. But you know, they said that they had to travel across the world to be part of this historic moment for Irish women's football.
I'm Gavin Blake, and this is my daughter Saoirse. We live in Lusk, so came over to support the girls in green. Saoirse plays football, and I'm her coach for Lusk, and Vera Powell came out to the club just before Christmas. We had a great experience with Vera Powell and started to talk and what a great occasion it would be, and we've lots of family over here, so we decided to come over and follow the girls in green. This is her Italia 90. Female sport is developing at the moment. It's just a phenomenal time to be, and a privilege for me as a coach to be involved with female sport. So it was a no-brainer once she wanted to go.
And of course, there's countless expats out there. Who did you meet?
Roisin was one of the people I met, and she has a very close connection to this team.
So Roisin De Borca, I'm originally from Galway, but we've been living over in Sydney for the last 10 years or so.
You have a connection to this Irish team?
Yeah, so my younger sister Maeve De Borca has over 50 caps for Ireland, and she's come up through the youth ranks, and a couple of the girls, Niamh Fahey, would know from home. So it was important for us to come out and give the Galway support to the team.
So you've watched this team and Irish women's football for a long time. To see scenes like this today in the airport... What was it like?
I mean, it's pretty incredible to have seen, you know, we all would have knocked the ball around and didn't there was nowhere for us to go with it. To think how far they've come in a decade when they were changing in bathrooms, and it's great to see just the support and the facilities that they now have access to. You know, living in Sydney and to be here, to be able to be so proud of the country you're from, to be playing against, you know, your adopted country. It doesn't get much bigger. The opening game of a World Cup. It's just going to be incredible. It's like moments like this that, you know, as an expat living abroad, you just, like, you can't describe it.
And of course, expats who buy tickets would be clocked up as Australians, would they? They wouldn't know if they were Irish or not.
That's what I was asking somebody tonight, and I was saying, like, you know, is it that there was an Irish section and Irish people were only allowed to buy from that section? And the guy in the Irish bar said to me, no, I'm in the Australian section, so I don't think there are any sections. And you know, Irish people and their ability to find tickets and get tickets. And there was somebody else mentioning, you know, Giant Stadium in 1994, that was expected to be filled with Italians in America, and it was Irish people. So there is this expectation that there's going to be a lot of Irish there. And I suppose we just really, really won't know until tomorrow.
Mm. And Deirdre got tickets.
So my name's Deirdre Berry. This is my son, Connor. I'm from Dublin, North County, Ballybuckle. We live well out west of Sydney.
How excited are you about the World Cup? Have you got tickets?
Yes, we're going tomorrow. Nosebleed, unfortunately, but we're there.
How much interest is there among the Irish community here in this game?
Everyone's dying to get tickets. There's huge hype. You know, the interest level. I mean, we've had the Irish cricket team out lately and it kind of went under the radar. This is not going under the radar. This is big.
How much noise do you think the Irish people are going to make inside that stadium?
Oh, I can't wait. It's going to be unreal. We couldn't even get jerseys in the, like, sports store here because they're sold out. It's a big stadium. The noise in there, it's like a cauldron when it gets going. It's going to be loud. It's going to be very loud.
Oh, I'm getting very excited. I'm envious of you, Samantha Labrerie. You're going to be there.
I'm envious of me. I can't believe I get to be at a World Cup and the first ever Women's World Cup. I have a 6-year-old girl at home, and to be able to tell her that I was at the first Women's World Cup, you know, it's extraordinary.
That's special, yeah. And little Connor, Deirdre's son, it'll be special for him too.
My name's Connor. I'm from Australia and I'm 11 years old.
Who are you going to support on Thursday?
Bit of both.
How excited are you to be going to a World Cup?
Very excited.
And what do you think it's going to be like?
I reckon a lot of people will like a few beers there. It will be very noisy, but good game.
Good game, yeah. They're ranked 10th in the world. Samantha, we're ranked 22nd.
Yes.
So, yeah.
And they've also got some football superstars on their side. Yeah. They've been in 8 of the 9 World Cups. This is our first. So, you know, I think people are realistic. And when you hear the team being interviewed over and over again, they, you know, nobody's going out there saying Ireland are going to win this 3-0. But this is football and anything is possible. And that's the magic of it. And you just don't know, you know, what turn of events or, you know, what might happen tomorrow that might, you know, that support is going to be crucial because, you know, on paper, this is a very difficult side to come up against for us. And all the sides we're facing are difficult. But, you know, there's something special about this. You know, this is the first game, first time Ireland have ever been in a World Cup. And remember as well, Ray, that, you know, when they had their farewell from Tala just before they went off to Australia about 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago, the record crowd there, it was 7,633, I think was the figure. They're now going out in front of 83,500 people. None of them. Katie McCabe would be the closest. She played in the Champions League games, I think, where they had about 60,000. But this is a massive step up for them. And, you know, the scale of it, you know, they can feel as well. And they've been saying this, you know, they can feel the energy and the momentum. Mm. You know, there's some players on this team who went to games out in Tala where there would have only been a few hundred people at the start, where, you know, people didn't know their names walking down the streets. They can feel the shift. You know, you drive around Dublin at the moment and there's all these posters, you know, with these big brands with their faces on it. So they feel the pressure and they feel the momentum behind them, but they're also not putting themselves under pressure because they've been saying repeatedly that this is their first World Cup. Nobody expects much of them. Mm. They are going to try to get out of this group, but at the same time, what's most important to them is the legacy that they are making, and, you know, the fact that they're making themselves role models for a next generation who, you know, little girls like my own at home are looking at this, and this is normal to them. Yeah. A Women's World Cup, you know, in Ireland in it. And for them, that's as important as anything else.
Just to let you know, Irish Independent, Katie McCabe, Amber Barrett, pictures of them. World class, the captain and the super sub helping Ireland scale new heights on the global stage. That's the headline there in the Irish Independent. Samantha, off to bed with you. Thanks so much.
Okay.
Mind
thank
yourself.
You.
Thank you. That's Samantha Liberi in Sydney. And just a reminder, we spoke to Ross Whittaker yesterday, who has put together an amazing documentary, which is on tonight after the 9 o'clock news. And if you want to know more about the team that will represent us in the Women's World Cup, that's where to go. 9:35 RTE1. Right, quick commercial break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.